Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you all hear me? Oh, that's better. Praise God. If you don't mind just praying with me very briefly before we get started. I felt impressed that we should pray along these lines. Just turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. So I just felt impressed we should pray, along the lines of what Jesus asked us to pray. He said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's actually the part I'd like us to pray on. And so if you'd bow your heads with me, I'd just like us to pray together. I don't know, but I just kept feeling that we need to pray along this line to avert an attack from the devil. I don't know exactly what sort it is, but something about an accident just kept coming to me. And so if you bow your heads together, let's just pray. Jesus asked us to pray to the Father that he will deliver us from evil. And so I'd like you to open your mouth and pray for yourself, pray for your family, and then pray for the church. Father, there will not be any bad news. We will not get any bad report of any mishap whatsoever. Father, that you will keep us from evil. You will deliver us from evil. I'd like you to pray. Pray seriously. Ask God that he will deliver you from evil, that he will deliver you from any mishap. We annul every such plans of the devil. The Bible declares that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And so we lift our voices and we condemn every voice. We condemn every arrangement, every evil arrangement against our lives, against the life of any member of this church in the name of Jesus. No such weapon will prosper in the name of Jesus. We condemn every such tongue. We bind every such spirit. We arrest every such effort. It shall not prosper. That the Lord will arise, O God, and let your enemies be scattered. Let the enemies of your purposes for our lives be scattered in the name of Jesus. We thank you, O God, that by your mighty hand you will rid us, you will deliver us, and you will defend us. In Jesus' name, wherever we are, every member of this church, every family member in this church, Lord, we thank you, we thank you. We thank you for your deliverance, mighty God. We thank you for your deliverance, mighty God. Your word declares you will give your angels charge over us. They will bear us on their wings lest we stumble. In the name of Jesus, we receive the charge of your angels upon every member of this church and every person who has come to visit. We receive the charge of your angels. They will bear us on their wings. And none of us will stumble. None of us will stumble. None of us will fall. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, O God. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your presence here with us today. It is unto you that we are gathered, Lord, not unto man. It is unto you. Unto you that hears prayers. Unto the God of all flesh. Unto the Father of all spirits, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. The giver of every good and perfect gift. And Father, we thank you, God, that we can actually call you our Father. We thank you that we've been adopted, O God, into your family. And Lord, we are called by a new name. We give you praise. And Lord, today as we celebrate Father's Day, O God, we are more careful to celebrate you for being a faithful Father. We give you praise. And just in accordance with your fatherliness, Lord, as we present ourselves to you this morning, we ask, O God, that you will bless us. We ask, O God, that you will speak your word to us. The entrance of your word giveth light and understanding. That your word, O God, will gain an entrance into our hearts. Father, I take authority over every contrary spirit. Father, let every mind and every thought be brought into captivity and obedience of Christ in this place. And Father, I thank you, God, that by the instrumentality of your word, you will direct our lives into your purposes and your plans for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I began to think about, just preaching on a Father's Day. I've never done that before, but my first time. And but God began to drop something in my heart. And it's just, if you call it, a title or whatever, but just looking at the Father's heart, the heart of our Father, the heart of our Heavenly Father. And God impressed a few things in my heart and about that particular subject. And I'd like for us to just see a little bit into the heart of our Father. Because if we can see the heart of our Father, it would help our relationship with Him. If we can see what His mind towards us is, it would actually change us. It would change how we relate with Him. And so, as we share together this morning, I'd like you to pay attention that God will unveil to you something about His heart that would bless you. And so, I'd like you to just go with me to Genesis chapter 1. On Wednesday, Esther was sharing with us, and she was teaching us about how to live by God's manual. How to live by God's manual. And I just went back to Genesis. Since God is our Father and He's the author of life and He's our creator, I just felt we should, just kind of go back to the beginning and see actually what our Father had in mind, when He started this business of creation. What did He have in mind? What was He thinking? How did He do things? What principles did He lay out when He began the whole business of creation? And so I'd like you to read Genesis chapter 1. Let's read from 26 to 28. Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28. Are we all there? All right. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Praise God. I'd like to stop at that point. And here is the thing that struck me, and that will serve as the focus of what I'm sharing this morning. God decided to create man in His image and in His likeness. Not exactly talking about the purpose, why He did that, but we all, kind of agree that, yes, God decided to create man. But here's the thing that struck me. What was the very first thing, just reading the context, reading the place, what was the first thing God did after He created man? What did He look to you like He did? What was the very first thing He did after He made man? Okay? Notice, the very first thing He did after He created man was to do what? Read it. What was the very first thing after He created man? The very first thing He did was He blessed the man. The very first thing He did was that He blessed the man. And the thing struck me, if If God decided to bless man as the very first thing after he created man, then there must be something about the blessing of God. There must be something about the blessing of God. There must be something fundamentally significant about the blessing that man cannot live without. If God decided to bless man, the very first thing he did, he made the man, and after he made the man, the first thing he did was to bless the man. It's like I see you in the morning, the very first thing I think about when I see you in the morning. The very first thing that came to God's mind when he thought about making man, or I mean when he got done with creating man, the very first thing he did was that he blessed the man. And the thing struck me, what about this blessing is so important that of all the things God could have done, I mean, when God made man, there were so many other things that could have been options, you know, for him to do. When he made man, the first thing he could have done was, maybe he could have put a dress on man, you know, put clothes on the man. When he made man the first time, maybe he would have just given man food, you know. He could have done so many other things, but why did he decide to bless man? The very first thing he did was to bless man. I'm taking my time to say it over and over again, so that we will kind of get to the realization that there's something about the blessing of God. There's something about the blessing of God that is imperative. There's something about the blessing of God that is significant and indispensable about the life of man. There's something about the life of man that is totally dependent on the blessing of God. There's something about this blessing that man cannot live without. If God saw it as important that once he made man, the first thing he did was to bless the man, there's something about the blessing of God on a man's life that a man cannot live without. And so God made man, and the very first thing he did was he blessed man. And I read the story along. And I came to the point, down the road, stuff happened, and man's heart became evil towards God. And God got so upset that he said, I'm going to wipe away everybody except Noah and his family members. Followed it down. After the flood, and everybody died, every person that was living died. And at the end of the flood, it was just Noah and his family members. You read Genesis chapter 9, verse 1 and verse 2 again. I'm trying to establish something here. Every human being was dead, just Noah. So God was, as it were, God was trying to start a new generation. God was trying to start everything all over again with Noah and his family. Can you read to me what God did to Noah once he came out of the out of the ark? Genesis chapter 9, verse 1 and verse 2. The very first thing God did, God blessed Noah. There must be something about the blessing of God on a man's life that God sees as imperative. God sees as significant. God sees that if I don't bless this man will be an utter failure. If I don't bless this man cannot satisfy my eternal purposes. If I don't bless this man will be a prey for the devil. If I don't bless this man, and so God decides, once Noah came out of the ark, he blessed Noah. Read through the Bible. Every person that God ever used in the Bible, every person that God ever used to do anything significant, you would often hear God say, or hear it written, and God blessed this man. And God blessed this man. And the thing keeps ringing in my heart. There is something about the blessing of God that God sees as important, that he decides that I cannot let Noah go away without blessing him. I cannot let Noah continue except I bless him. I won't let Noah continue. I won't let him just live like that. If I let him go, he will be a prey to the devil. If I let him go, my purposes on the earth will never be accomplished. And so in order to help Noah to accomplish my plans for his life, I have to bless him. God called Abraham, said to him, hey, Abraham, leave your father's house and go to a place I'll show you. Genesis chapter 12. Go to a place I'll show you. From verse 1 to verse 3. And after he gave him all the instructions, he says to him, and I will bless you. There is something about the blessing of God that you and I cannot do without. It is not an option. It is not something you can deliberate over. It is not something you should contemplate on. It is imperative. I cannot fulfill the purpose of God for my life without the blessing of God. And God blessed Abraham. And we sing the song, Abraham's blessings are mine. The potency of the blessing with which God blessed Abraham is still in effect till today. The effect of the blessing is still in effect till today. Still being felt today. I am beginning what I'm sharing with us on the premise that the blessing of God is an indispensable factor in the life of every person, every human being, whether you realize it or not. If God does not bless you, you will fail. If God does not bless you, you can never satisfy the pleasures of God. If God does not bless you, all your efforts will be in vain. Only the blessing of God can produce results that will satisfy God. Without the blessing of God, hard work, labor, efforts, with all the goodwill associated with it, will be tantamount to failure. If God sees it as paramount that the very first thing he does when he creates man is to bless him, there's something about the blessing of God that you and I need. And here's what strikes me. Think about this with me for one moment. Just summarily speaking, what does it mean to bless? When you say, I bless you, or when you say, God bless the man, what does that really mean? I'm going to summarize it to say that it is the endowment or endowment with capacity to succeed in a given task. If I want you to go and buy something for me or go get something for me, I bless you with the cash to do that, and then you go and get it. If I don't bless you with the cash to go get it, then you become impotent as far as that task is concerned. In other words, if I want to send you on a task, I need to mobilize you. I need to empower you. I need to energize you in order to accomplish that task. And so, think about it. A lot of people here are conversant with guns. People deal with guns a lot this way. And so, when you think of a bullet, what comes to your mind? When you think of a bullet, what comes to your mind? Anybody? When you think of a bullet, what comes to your mind? Harm. Okay, what else? Power. When you think of a bullet, you think of destruction. You think of something that has a powerful effect. Something that has a tremendous effect. Right? Something that can cause a lot of harm. Something that can break things. That's what you think about when you think of a bullet. When you think of a shrapnel, you know, what comes to your mind? Explosion, right? A shrapnel can literally fracture your bone. It can cut off your neck. A shrapnel is very dangerous when you think about it. But excuse me, let us break it down to the nitty-gritty. A bullet by itself, what can it achieve? A bullet, no matter how long it is, whether it's a small one or the long one, what can a bullet achieve by itself? If I bring a bullet here, just the bullet by itself, I bring it and I raise it up here and show you guys, nobody's going to run, right? But if I bring that bullet and I put it in a gun, then everybody gets concerned. What's the difference here? A bullet by itself, without the blessing of the propulsion of the gun, is useless. But once you put the bullet in a gun, a bullet becomes dangerous. It can wreak havoc. It's a piece of shrapnel by itself lying on this podium. It's useless. But once that piece of shrapnel is put in an explosive, it becomes dangerous. You get the gist. In the same vein, the life of a man by itself is useless. But the life of a man loaded in the gun of God, the life of a man embedded in the blessing of God, becomes tremendously effective. I'd like you to see it by yourself. In and of yourself, you're no good. I'm no good. But you and I, as weak, as impotent as we are, loaded in the barrel of God, we become tremendously effective. You get the gist. Why will a bullet decide to just stay there by itself when it knows it can achieve nothing? Why will a bullet decide to just hang around by itself and say to the gun, you can go your way while I go my way? When the bullet knows, except I am loaded in a gun, I cannot be effective. That is a simple description of the blessing of God. And that is what makes the blessing of God a necessity. And so, I want to trust that by the Spirit of God, your heart will lay hold of this morning, is that the blessing of God is a necessity in your life. You don't have an option. You cannot do without it. You and I need the blessing of God. God never made man to be dependent on himself. I'd like to draw your attention to this. God never made man to be independent. In fact, you read the account of creation. Before God ever made man, God already created a place for him to be in. All God did was just put man in there. And man was supposed to thrive in the place where God had put him with the blessing of God on his life. God never made man to labor. Read the account of creation. The Bible says, and God put the man in the garden and asked him to do what? To dress it. He didn't ask him to till it. He didn't ask him to labor and sow. The trees and the plants grew of their own accord. They responded to the blessing of God on the life of the man. All the man needed to do was just to dress the garden. But after man fell and the blessing was lifted, you know what happened? God said to the man, the earth will no longer yield its strength to you. That means before then, the earth responded to the blessing of God on the life of the man, that the earth just continued to yield its increase to the man. Irrespective of whatever the man didn't need to do much, and the earth just yielded its increase. The animals, the ones we call the wild beasts today, because of the blessing of God on the life of the man, the animals came to the man and they respected the man. They did not respect him because the man was something special. They respected the man because of the blessing of God that was on the man. I'd like us to see the blessing of God. It was not about Adam. It was about the blessing that was hanging on his life. There was a glory on his life because of the blessing of God. Everything responded to him. There was no story of labor. And here's the thing. I read the creation. I read the account of the creation. And what I noticed was this. Can you tell me? The Bible says in the cool of the day, God will come to have fellowship with man. Did you ever read that it was Adam that started praying and fasting for God to show up? Is that what it says? No! God came of his own accord. In the blessing of God, in the place of the blessing of God, it is a place that is filled with divine activity. It is not filled with human struggles. It is a place of divine activity where man rests in the blessing of God. God is the one who is active. God is the one who is doing all the work. And man is only a beneficiary of the works of God. That is our Father's heart. That is the heart of the Father in the creation. His heart hasn't changed. His mind hasn't changed. It is still the same. In the blessing of God, what you have is complete divine activity. But once the blessing lifted, notice, man now had to walk. Cain and Abel had to do something to survive. They had to do something to survive. But when the blessing was there, it was all about God doing the work and man receiving the benefits. I read the account of creation, and I never heard the word fear mentioned until the fall. And the Bible says, Adam said, I heard your voice and I was afraid. That word afraid had never been used before, even in the face of the lions, because the blessing was in effect. But when the blessing lifted, fear came in. Fear came in once the blessing lifted. God never talked about death. God never spoke about death until the blessing lifted. And now, death came in. There was never any pain. Pain was never mentioned until the blessing lifted. And now God said to the woman, in pain and sorrow, you will bear a child. I'd like you to see the necessity of the blessing of God. I read the story of Abraham, who was blessed by God. Abraham had a wife. The Bible says Sarah was fair. In other words, Sarah was beautiful as my wife. Sarah was so beautiful, the Bible says, And when Abraham went down to Egypt, he said to her, "These people may want to kill me because of how beautiful you are. Just tell them you're my sister." And the king of Egypt went ahead and took Sarah and wanted to take her to himself as his wife. You know what happened? In the night, God showed up to the king of Egypt. "If you touch that woman, you die." That is what happens to the life of a person who has the blessing of God. You rest while God does the fighting for you. You don't need to argue with the person back and forth. "Why are you talking to my wife like that? Why are you texting my wife? Why do you want to take my husband away from me?" You don't need to struggle. When the blessing of God is in effect, please note, you will hold your peace, for your battle becomes the Lord's. And the Lord does the fighting for you, and you take the victory. The same thing happened. The king of the Philistines wanted to take Sarah again. God caused everybody in his house, everything in his house, to become barren. When God blesses a man, it is all about divine activity. The man ceases from his struggles, and it is God who is working, and the guy is only receiving the benefits. I like you to see the necessity of the blessing of God. But when the blessing of God is missing, you have to struggle. You have to fight for it. Look at Cain. Because the blessing of God was not on his life, he became competitive. He became covetous. He began to struggle. He went ahead and killed his brother because the blessing was lacking. When the blessing of God is on you, you don't need to compete with anybody. You don't need to try to be better than anybody. When the blessing of God is on you, it is all about divine activity on your behalf while you rest and receive it. I'd like you to see the Father's heart. This is the heart of the Father, that you and I walk under the cover of his blessings. Blessing means empowered to succeed. Moses said to the Israelites, "Remember that it is God who gives you power to get wealth." Wealth responded to the Israelites, not because they were skillful, but because the blessing was on them. You remember when they were leaving Egypt? This was what happened. When they were leaving Egypt and God released the blessing on them, you know what God said to them? "The Egyptians will give you their treasures of their own accord." You know what they needed to do? "I like that your jewelry. Can you give it to me?" And the person just brings it out and gives it. You didn't need to sugarcoat it. You didn't need to wind the person around. You didn't need to tell the person, "If you sow one seed, God will give you 2 seeds. No, you don't need to do that. In the place of the blessing of God, things respond of their own accord, because it is not you walking. It is God who is working on your behalf and making everything respond to you, not because of you, but because of his blessing on you. Empowered to succeed, empowered to prosper." And people think of blessing and they think only about money. No, the blessing is with respect to the purposes of God. You need the blessing of God to be a father. Without the blessing of God, you can do all the necessary things. You can say all the right things. You can do all the right things. And you still get not the right results. You need the blessing of God to be a wife. Without the blessing of God, you will cook all the right meals, say all the right things, do everything right, and still get the wrong result. And you sit back and wonder to yourself, "What did I do wrong?" It is not about what you did wrong. It's about, did you or did you not have the blessing? When Jesus had 5,000 people to feed, The disciples recognized. What we have here, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Too small to take care of this crowd. Too small. And as we, when we get to conclude, number one, you and I have to recognize our inefficiency and inadequacy when it comes to life. That's one thing. But recognizing it is not enough. The disciples recognized and said to themselves, 5 loaves, 2 fish, even if we had all the money to go and buy bread, we are not going to have enough to feed these people. And Jesus said to them, bring it to me. You recognize that your income is not enough to take care of 5 kids. There's no way, even with all your savings, there's no way you're going to have enough to pay for college. It's not just going to happen. That income is not enough. It's one thing to recognize. That's the first step. Good. You recognize it. The second thing Jesus said to them, bring it to me. And they brought it to him. You know what he did? You remember? He blessed it. He blessed it. 5 loaves and 2 fish fed more than 5,000 men, excluding women and children. And there were 12 baskets left over. May God open your eyes to see this principle. Many times we trust in what we have. We trust in the adequacy of our skills. But can I say to you, in the fulfillment of the plans of God, what you have is not enough. You must bring it to him to bless. Oh, bring it to him to bless. He blessed the 5 loaves and 2. See, you may think you're walking in the blessing of God, but I'd like to show you another level. The level where the effort you put in is way less than the result you get. In other words, the result you get way surpasses the effort you put in. It is called the place of the blessing. Can you tell me, mathematically speaking, God said, one of you will chase 1,000, two shall chase 10,000. Can you do the math and tell me how that works? 2 times 1,000 is supposed to be 2,000. If one chases 1,000, 2 times 1,000 is 2,000. But God is saying 2 will chase 10,000. How is that possible? How is it ever possible that 2 shall chase 10,000? It is only possible because the Lord blesses the 2. And the order of the blessing is not within the human or natural realm. It is of the supernatural order. I'd like you to see. May God bring you to the point where you say to God, I have an effort that is worth 10,000. But what I need to achieve is worth 50,000. I ask you to bless. This is all I have, Lord. Mathematically speaking, it is not going to be enough. But Lord, I bring it to you to bless. Lord, if you will bless, it will be more than enough. If you will bless it, it will take care of all the needs and I will have 12 baskets full. Elisha said to that woman, go and borrow jars, vessels, not a few. And when you borrow them, because the blessing of God comes on that oil, just pour. As you pour, the oil will not run dry. And the Bible said the woman poured, and she 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 poured. You know when the oil stopped? When there was no more vessel to pour in. The blessing of God is endless. He's only looking for vessels into which he can pour. Will you present yourself a vessel? Bible says the oil stayed when there was no more vessel. The oil of God's blessing is infinite. It will be poured if there is a vessel. And that's why Jesus said to them, bring it to me and I will bless it. It has never been recorded in history anywhere that the jawbone of an ass can kill 1,000 men. Until the day the blessing of God came on Samson. And he took the jawbone of an ass and he slew 1,000 men. It is mathematically impossible. I have said mathematically impossible a number of times today. That is to show you that God is trying to move you beyond the realm of mathematical possibility into the realm of supernatural possibilities. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. With him, the problem is, are you with him? Are you with him? With him? With him? Nothing shall be impossible. We need the blessing. It's not an option. It is not an option. Never written in the, never in history, everywhere. Jawbone of an ass, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God fell on Samson. With the jawbone of an ass, he slew 1,000 men. You may see, the blessing is not about what you have or what you don't have. It is about, is the blessing there? So whether it's the jawbone of an ass, or it is a spear, or it is a broom, or it is a stick, it doesn't matter what it is. When the blessing comes on it, it will slay 1,000 men. You need the blessing. You need that empowerment to prosper in the purposes of God. Let me say to us, the Father's heart is this, that you will prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. The Father's heart, the Bible says, for the thoughts he has for us are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. That is the Father's heart. The Father's heart is not that he has set you up for failure. The Father's heart is not that he has brought you into a place where he just wants you to fail and he wants to embarrass you. The Father's heart is that he will bless you beyond the realms of natural possibilities. Many times we trust in our abilities. We limit God by our abilities. We limit God by what we think we can do and what we think we cannot do. God doesn't want us to walk in that realm. He didn't make... Notice this. When God made Adam, he gave him a brain. When God made Adam, he gave him hands. When God made Adam, he gave him legs. But notice what he says. He said in the Psalms, 145, 147, he says, God does not delight in the legs of a man. He doesn't delight in the strength of a horse. He only delights in them that trust him for his blessings. Because the legs of a man, yes, man has legs that can walk. But have you ever heard of anybody that walked without getting weary? Have you ever heard of anybody that ran without getting exhausted? Have you ever heard of a human being that ran and began to fly? But the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord for his blessings, they shall run and not be weary. This is God's word. When you wait upon God and God blesses you, you will run and you will not run out of ATP, because you will have a divine supply of ATP that you will run and not be weary. You will walk and you will not be tired. You know what? If you're running and you got tired, it may just mean that you were running on your strength. And it is time to give up your strength and take up the strength of the Lord. That one that would make you run and not be weary. When your patience runs out, it may just be that the patience you've had all along has been your natural patience. And it's time to give it up for the patience of the Lord that never runs out. The patience of the Lord that never says, I've tried my best and that's it. I'm not doing anymore. That's the patience of man. If it is the patience of God, it will run and never get weary. When everybody says, I'm done, it says, I'm still getting started. And it keeps pressing in. It keeps pressing in. You and I need the blessing of God. Can I summarize by saying this to us? That was why the Bible says about a guy called Jabez. His mother bore him in sorrow, and all he knew all his life was sorrow. But one day he recognized that in his own natural strength, he wasn't going to make it very far. And that day he decided to come to God. And he knelt before God and he said to God, Oh God, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Oh, that your blessing will rest on me indeed. Because I'm a man that has been acquainted with sorrow. I cannot make it by myself. But if thou will bless me indeed, I will prosper. That God will move your heart today to say to him, Lord, I don't want to make a step anymore. I don't want to take any step anymore without your blessing. I have tried, I have done it. I've tried all I could. I've done everything I could with all my skills and all my education. I've tried with my own patience and natural abilities. I have achieved something, but still not enough. Lord, today I come just to surrender to you. Just according to your heart was, when you made man and you blessed him, that Lord, you will bless me indeed. I don't want to struggle anymore. The Bible says, they that have entered into his rest have ceased from all their labors. We have labored, and he says, come unto me, O ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come into the place of divine activity, where it is not you that is working, but it is the forces of heaven that are working on your behalf to prosper the plans of God for you. Bow your heads, let's begin to press into God. Bow your heads, let's press into God. Oh, Sakato Yabaha. Elado Seke Paragada. Ebrede de Yabaha. You can come to the altar if you want. I'm not praying for anybody. There is a God who is willing to bless. Just come to the altar and say to him like Jabez, Lord, I surrender. I need your blessing indeed. I need your blessing indeed. I need the blessing of the Lord indeed. If you're here and you've been living all along in your natural strength, you have been trying to defeat sin by your natural strength, will you come to the Lord today and say to him, Lord, I don't want to struggle anymore. Lord, I don't want to depend on my strength anymore. I need you to bless me so that I can overcome sin. Because if you don't bless me, sin will have dominion over me. Come before the Lord. Come before the Lord and cry out to him like Jabez. You do all your financial planning based on the income you make. Do you know that there is a divine blessing that can come on your income and make it more than enough? Oh, Satoli Brahayaga. Just come before the Lord and cry out to him like Jabez and say to him, Lord, that you will bless me indeed. That you will bless me indeed. Lord, I want to stop struggling. You don't need to argue with anybody. When the blessing of God comes on you, you don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to argue with anybody. God fights for you. And you hold your peace. Oh, ma sokotoli yahai. Ma reba nada dosi paralaga dosia. E brani de de borete zika bana borete sikahaya. Oh, radana nana mosete yahai. E brani nana nama sutai. E brene ne 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 mosia. Oh, for the blessing of God. Oh, for the blessing of God. The blessing of God. The blessing of God that can multiply efforts. That can multiply efforts and bring results way beyond human comprehension. The blessing of God that can come upon a weak body and the weak body receives strength. The blessing of God that can come upon a weak mind and the weak mind receives wisdom. That God will load you inside the barrel of his blessings and he will shoot you out with all the powers of heaven to go forth and prosper. Jesus said, I have called you that you be my disciples and that you should go forth and bear fruits and that your fruit will abide. Release your heart unto God. Release your heart unto God. Musaka talibrana gadosea. Ila dose ke predege dosata. Rimane nene mo se perelege dosaha. I paligatule kregete paranaga dosaha. Thank you, Jesus. Mo yate setelia. I need you, God. I need you, God. I need you, God. I need your blessing, God. I need your blessing. I need divine endowment with power from on high. Those of you that are just at the altar, just go ahead and press into God. Go ahead and press into God. And for the rest of you, if you would like to go, that's fine. I speak the blessing of God on all of us, that the light of his countenance will shine upon us and his peace will be upon us, that he will draw our hearts closer and closer to him, and he will keep us for himself, he will keep us for his glory, he will keep us by his power. We thank you, Jesus. Marigato satali bahalakata rebananana mosetelia inkaradadananana. Thank you.
the blood of God.